Okay, if you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to be reading from verse 1 to 17. And let's just read the text. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another, with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." What I like about modern Bibles, and I have many translations in my house, I don't read all the different translations, but what I like about them is that most of them have these little headings about the text. It kind of gives you an idea of what the text is going to be about. Now, I was just looking up some of the different little titles that this section is given, and there's quite a few of them. We've got things like titles for instructions for holy living. One simply put it as the old life and the new one. There's another one that's dying and living with Christ. And most simple one was the new life. My favourite title that I came across, though, was living as a new creation. And it's about those of us who are now in Christ, and as Scripture tells us, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, behold, the new has come. And it kind of sums up, this text kind of sums up how it should look if we are in fact a new creation. The way that we used to think, the way we acted, the way we talked, and the way we look at life, there should be a change from the old us, the pre-Christ us, I should say, to the new us, those of us who are now living in Christ. So the first thing I want to really look at is, what is it to be a new creation? You know, how do we become this new creation? Yes, we've put our faith in Christ to save us, basically to save us from hell. and to give us this glorious hope of the life which is to come. It would be so easy to just think, oh, why couldn't I just be saved and go to heaven? Why couldn't I just do an Enoch, you know, and just be saved and transported to heaven? Because life here on this earth right now is not easy. We still have our struggles. We still have our aches and pains. We still have our issues. We still have to contend with other people. But we need to do so as a new creation. Now, when we are going to embark on something, let's say perhaps somebody's made a resolution. I don't make resolutions because I would probably break them, so I don't make them. But if you've resolved to say to diet and lose X amount of weight, first of all, that desire has to come from somewhere, doesn't it? So in your heart, you're like, I want to do this. I really want to lose this weight. So there's your heart. And then it's, actually, I can do this. I can do this. So you're changing your thinking. The thinking has to change. And then it's, I will do this. And that's where the thinking has completely changed. That actually, I'm not just going to sit around watching the workout videos while eating a packet of crisps. I'm actually going to put the crisps down and I'm actually going to do the workout video. I will do this. There's been a change of heart, there's been a change of mind, and then you're stepping into what you need to do. And so it is with us as we walk as a new creation. We have to, first of all, reckon that our old life is gone. Colossians 3:7 says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. See, when Jesus came and he said, I come to give you life and life abundant, didn't mean just, I'm going to give you eternal life in the future where everything's going to be nice and rosy, you won't have to do anything, you won't have any worries. We know it's going to be like that, but it's not like that now. And when he said, I'm going to give you life and life abundant, he meant life today, here and now. So in order to be living as a new creation, we have to reckon we are that new creation. And in order to do that, we need to just to know what we've been given in Christ and believe it. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says that when we begin to walk towards God in faith, we become new creations. And that's what really matters, Galatians 6:15. That's what really matters, that we become this new creation. And it's impossible to live the life that Jesus wants for us, or has given us the ability to live, until we absolutely understand this truth and believe it. We can't just add good stuff onto bad stuff. That's not a new life. That's just the old life with more stuff added to it. We need to become the new creation from the inside out. So, question is, how do we do that? Three simple steps. Joking, they're not always that simple. But step one, focus on Jesus. It says verse one, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So, what do we need to do? We need to keep our focus on Christ by setting our hearts on things above. What Jesus said was, where your hearts are, your treasure will be also. So where we are no longer citizens of this world, and we are now citizens of heaven, shouldn't our thoughts be guided towards heaven? Shouldn't our hearts be longing for heaven, be longing for Jesus? We are to focus upon him, set our hearts on him, and we are to guard our hearts. It's in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says that the heart is the wellspring of life. So as we guard our hearts and set it on Jesus, we will find strength to live for Jesus. We will find strength to live as a new creation. But if our hearts aren't set on him, it won't work. Remember, we discussed already about just adding stuff on to the old life. It's not a new life. If we want a new life, we need to set our hearts on him. We also need to set our minds on him. Also goes on in verse 2, it says, set your minds on things above, not earthly things. And the society that we live in, the consumer society that we live in, it can be hard. You know, we see the latest TVs and the latest bit of tech and the nice house, the big cars and all that kind of things. And, oh, that'd be nice. We're not to focus and set our minds on these things, but we're to set our minds on things above. We need to get our minds on Christ. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. We need to have our minds renewed. We need to have our minds renewed by Christ so that we focus on Christ. We need to get our mind on Jesus, meaning that we're going to be fighting against impure thoughts, and we're going to be taking our thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:15. What it means is thinking more like our Saviour, thinking about things the way Jesus thinks about things. It means letting God enter your thoughts, letting God change your thoughts. You know, let him enter your thoughts purposely throughout the day, directing your thoughts towards him. That's what it means to change your mind, our thinking, and to renew our minds. It's not just a case of, oh, do you know what, I'm just going to empty my mind. I'm not going to think about that, because something will creep in. Why not be active and actually say, do you know what, I'm going to allow Christ to be my focus. I'm going to be thinking about Christ. I'm going to be thinking about life the way Christ thinks about life, and the way Christ would act, what he would say, what he would do. What would he do? What would he say in this moment, at this time, when the pressure's on? What would Christ think? That's where we need to be thinking. Thirdly, let your life be in him. Verse 3, it says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So part of living Jesus' new life, this new transformed life, means not only do we set our hearts on him and our minds on him, get our minds focused on him, but we are also to be consumed by him. In other words, it's not my life anymore. It's his life in me. Jesus said that the whole law is summed up in this statement: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Mark 12, verse 30. So by focusing on Jesus and loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we allow him then to work his new life in us. Just as we die to our old way of life, we now live for Christ in this new way of life. So what we've seen, to live this new life, this transformed life as new creations, we need to set our hearts in the right place. We need to have the right heart. We need to not have a heart for sinful things, heart for the things of the world, but our hearts should be for the things of God. Our minds should be constantly renewed and washed with the things of God. And we should reckon ourselves to be alive in Christ rather than dead in our old sins. So we've seen that the heart and the mind need to change and we need to be in him. But then here comes the practical part. It's putting off stuff, isn't it? And it says in verse 5, the first part of verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity. So Jesus came to usher in this new way of life, but not just to place it on top of the old one. First, we need to put off our old life, starting with the old body. Now, for me, that would be a bonus. If I could put off the old body, this body that I'm in now, that would be really nice. Good hands, hip that works, all that kind of thing. But we're not just talking about the flesh, the body, that the flesh, the bones, the skin, eyeballs, all that kind of stuff. We're not just talking about that. We're talking about something much deeper than that. So we need to put off our old life, starting with the body. Now, the body wants certain things. The body can be lazy. The body can be prone to sexual impurity, immorality. The body can be prone to wanting to eat too much. All these kind of things that we need to look at. We need to reckon that our old self is crucified with Christ so that we no longer have to follow sin in our bodies. Yeah, Paul said that no one who lives with sexual immorality would enter heaven. So we got to take off the bad stuff that the body wants. We need to kind of subdue and say, actually, do you know what? I know what you want to do today, body. You want to stay in bed. You don't want to read the word of God. You don't want to listen to a sermon. You don't even want to go to church and fellowship with your brothers and sisters because you're a bit tired and you want to stay in bed. We need to now say to our body, no. That's not what I'm doing. I am going to get up. I am going to go to church. I am going to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I am going to read and listen to the word of God. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to fill my eyes and my head with lewd images. I'm not going to go out and get drunk. I'm not going to do those things that I used to do in my old body. But I'm going to do what is obedient to Christ's word. So, body, you listen to me. You will do what Christ has ordained for us to do, which is to fellowship, to be in his word, and to be obedient to God. So we're going to take off the old body. Secondly, we need to take off the old heart. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, lusts, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So besides putting off the desires and wants of your old sinful body, you've got to put off your old heart. Now, it doesn't do any good to put off your old body and keep an old heart, because sin runs deeper than the act. It's not just a case of doing, it's also the case of what you're thinking, and it's what's going on in here. In fact, God knows more about our sins than we probably do, because he sees our hearts. We only see what people want us to see. No, we only see the workings of our heart as they become manifest through the body. So in order to walk as a new creation and to live as a new creation, we need to then also put to death the desires of our sinful hearts. You know, it'd be no good trying to put off your old body and keeping a sinful heart, because you'll still want to be lazy. You'll still want to be immoral. You'll still want to do those sinful things. And what will happen is you will end up doing them. Or should I say, we will end up doing them. Says that our old hearts want to give in. Our old hearts want to give in to lust, wants to give in to jealousy, wants to give in to bitterness. We need to renew our hearts. We need to put those things to death in our hearts. It's about putting off our old hearts as much as it is about putting off our outward actions. Paul talks about how if you desire sin in your heart, that your body will soon follow. He says that in Romans 1, verse 24. So we need to put off the old heart. So what next in walking as a new creation? What do we put off now? We need to put off our old mind, our old way of thinking. It says in Colossians 3, verse 8, but now you must rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice. So we need to put off our old body, our old heart, and our old mind as well. And until we put off our old minds, we're going to be in a constant state of war. There will be war raging in our minds. We'll be fighting and giving in to anger. You know, we'll be like situations whereby there's been tons of situations. Junction 10. Do I need to say much more? If I say Junction 10, Tesco's roundabout. Oh, dearie me. That is one of the worst junctions, I believe, in this country. And the amount of times that people get in the wrong lane, come across you, cut you up, you see people getting out their cars, screaming and shouting at each other and all that kind of thing. And that is giving in to anger. What about malice? You know, the being hurtful. You know, in times gone by, it wouldn't bother me to be hurtful towards people. You know, I used to think, well, do you know what? I'll give as good as I've been getting. You know, that kind of attitude. And that wouldn't have bothered me. Lustful thoughts wouldn't have bothered me. All the images that you see wouldn't have bothered me. Jealousy. I would be jealous. I'd be like, how comes he's got that and I haven't? Or how comes they've got this and I don't? All these things that used to wage war, or would, if we permit them, wage war in our minds, we need to rid ourselves of in order to walk as this new creation. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying we're going to be doing these things perfectly. But we should be trying at least to do these things, to rid ourselves of these things. No, it's to be living in a state where your mind is at war. You know, I know I ought to be doing this good stuff, but this bad stuff keeps... To be living like that all the time. I don't mean the odd slip, but like all the time. It's no good. It's no good. You'll be in torment. You know? That's no way to live. And God has promised us peace that transcends all understanding. And in order to have that peace, we can't be at war in our minds. So we need to put off our old mind. We need to put off those old thoughts. Paul says we need to put off the old way of thinking because it's futile, he said in Romans 1:21 and Ephesians 4 verse 7. It's useless and even damaging to our walks unless we put off our old mind and our old way of thinking. And unless we do that as well, do you know what's going to happen? We'll just follow those thoughts into sin. So to live Jesus' new way of living, you need to put off old thoughts in your mind. You need to put off the old deeds. But also, we need to put off our old words. Look at verses 8 to 9. But now you must rid yourselves of slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. So we put off our old body, we put off our old heart, we put off our old mind, and now we even put off our old words. So what are some of the old words? Some of the old ways of talking that need to be put off. These may include slandering people, gossiping, cussing, making coarse jokes, lying, whining, complaining, bickering. Sorry, I thought I was at work then. Anything that comes out of our mouth, quite frankly, that isn't from God. You know, you don't hear in the Gospels, and Jesus moaned and whinged and whined about this, and Jesus was cussing at this person and he slandered. You don't hear that. And we ought to be living our lives like Jesus, using our words like Jesus. So the kind of words that we used to use and how they would make people feel, the kind of reactions they would get, the way that used to make us feel, or, you know, the kind of reaction we would want from the words that came out of our mouths. We need to put off and make sure that what does come out of our mouths is holy. You know, in Ephesians 5 verse 4, Paul says that we should not allow obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, because they're out of place for Christians. It's just out of place. So, similarly, we should put off our old desire to get wrapped up as well in things like tit-for-tat arguing. I'm not saying, you know, we don't air our grievances with each other or what have you, but it's the way that we conduct ourselves while doing it and the choice of words that we use while doing it. I mean, I've watched debates between atheists and Christians, and I've been quite astounded sometimes because some of them have been really good. They've been really good debates. And the Christian has portrayed themselves and portrayed Christ very well indeed. Very well. And has been humbled and, you know, spoke with gentleness and respect to the other person, even though he thought the other person or knows the other person is wrong. But similarly, I've seen it where we've had a guy who's debating, and because he's a scientist as well, and he knows his stuff, he's like condescending and making a joke of the person that he's, you know, he's debating with. And I'm thinking, well, that's not actually befitting of a Christian, especially if you want to win people over to Christ. You know, so we shouldn't, you know, allow ourselves to get drawn into things like tit-for-tat arguments and quarrels and things like that. If we need to speak to somebody about something, let's do it respectfully. Let's do it respectfully. Like it says in 2 Timothy 2:14. But you know what the thing is? Most of us tend to think that, do you know what, words don't really matter. You know, it's particularly true of people in the world. They say, I did say that, it don't matter. But it actually does matter. Because it's our words that are sometimes more hurtful than just getting a punch. You know, it's the long-term damage that our words can do. So we do need to be careful and put off our old ways of talking. We need to put off our old ways of speaking and use words to bring that, you know, those words that would bring pain, darkness, and even death, and change it to something else, a new way of talking, which we'll see further on. So far in this study, what we've seen, that's to walk as a new creation. This is what Christ, you know, wants for us, to walk as a new creation. So we change our hearts and we focus on things above. We change our minds, yeah? And start to put aside those thoughts that we can't live for Christ. We need to recognize that actually we can, because we are this new creation. So we change our hearts, we put away the actions and the sinful nature. We put to death the evil desires of our bodies. We put to death the desires of our hearts. We've put to death like our old ways of thinking. We've put to death our old way of speaking. So basically, we put all this stuff to death. We've got rid. But that's not it. It doesn't end there. You know, what would happen? You get up in the morning, take off your old dirty pajamas, and you go to work or go to school. You'd be there butt naked. And people would be like, whoa, A, that don't look good, and why are you doing that? So before we go to school or go to work, we're going to take off our old pajamas, our old dirty pajamas, and we're going to put on something fresh, something nice to wear during the day that is acceptable, more acceptable than walking around naked. And likewise, when we are going to be walking as new creation in Christ, we're going to be taking off the old and we're going to be putting on the new. So first of all, we're going to be looking at putting on a new heart. It says in Colossians 3, verse 10, you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So it's not enough to just take off your old ways of living. Once you take it off, we need to put on the new life, the new Jesus-looking life. And that starts with the heart. It says verses 12 to 15, we've got to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We've got to bear with each other and forgive. We've got to put on love and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts and be thankful. See, our hearts need to be made brand new, not just a little bit here and there. But when we put on this new life, this new transformed, new creation life, our hearts will be full of these good attributes, the compassion, the kindness, the gentleness, forgiveness. That's the kind of heart that we need to have. And let's just look at some of these things. I mean, compassion. It used to be nothing, and it still is nothing to some people to walk past and see the homeless, destitute, you know, with nothing, you know, get out of my way, you're blocking up the doorway. You know, where's the compassion there? Would Christ behave like that? Would Christ have a heart like that? No, he wouldn't. And we need to have a heart that is compassionate. Kindness. How about actually showing some kindness to these people? How about being compassionate and kind to one another in the body of Christ? Because recognizing that we do need each other, you know, recognizing that no one of us is better than the other. So when our brother has fallen, or when our brother has an issue, let's be compassionate. Let's show some kindness. Let's give them our time. Let's pray for them. Let's show some humility. We're saying, you know what? I understand. Let's not say, well, come on, get up. You can do better than that. Because that is not what our brothers maybe need to hear. Sometimes it could be a bit of tough love here and there doesn't go amiss. But on the whole, we need to be compassionate and we need to be able to show kindness and humility to one another. Being gentle, having patience. You know, that's why I love kids so much. I think because I've got the patience to deal with them. Quite frankly, you know, it's not a case of, oh, they shouldn't be, they should be seen and not heard and all that. No, let's be patient with them, you know, even when they are a little bit annoying. Let's not show it on our faces or what we say and what have you. Let's have a new heart. Let's change our hearts to be like Jesus, have his heart. Then also, let's change our words. Let's have new words. It says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach, admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So whereas our words were once used to tear down, to destroy, to put others down and elevate ourselves out of our own selfish ambition and desires, our new words should be ones that teach, that admonish, that enlighten people, that lift people up, that bring vitality to our congregation and to others around us. Our words need to express the love that we've been given and we should give. Our words need to make people realize that actually being a Christian is something that is desirable rather than, all right, it's good for you, mate, but it's not good for me. You know, we want people to say, well, you know, okay, I'm not a Christian, but thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for speaking those words to me. How about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude? It says we do that on a Sunday morning, but it doesn't always have to be sung. How about, like, what I love about Band of Brothers, all right, I'm not great at this myself, so I'm not going to sort of like say, oh, I'm brilliant, because I'm not, but Ryan's particularly good, Nigel's particularly good, Danny is too, about sending messages, you know, sending psalms and sending, like, poems and all that kind of stuff that's uplifting. Using the words of God to lift up their brothers, really, really good. And similarly with the ladies, I'm sure that happens too. But we've all been there when there's been a time when somebody's words have been exactly what we've needed at that time. Exactly what we've needed, either to just stop us in our tracks, make us think a little bit different, or to lift us up, to encourage us, to get us moving again. It's been so many times when that's happened in my life, and I'm sure in the rest of your lives as well. Words are powerful, so we need to put on the new ones. We need to put on the new ones for the glory of God. And our new words also should be there being used to share the gospel, like Paul asked for in Ephesians 6:19, to encourage the saints and to point the way to God, repentance, and to offer salt and light into the world. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So every time we open our mouths, it should be like God is speaking. So we put on this new heart, we put on or start using our new words, and then we just live this new transformed life. In verse 17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what happens when your old body, heart, mind and words are done away with, and your new heart and words are allowed to operate, you begin to live a whole new life. A whole new life which Christ said we would have today. Not in the future, but today. This can happen today. Paul said in Romans 14, verse 8, and if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. All our life is to be rooted in Jesus and to be directed by him. Whatever we do should spring from that. It's the fact that I'm rooted in Jesus, so this is what I will do because of that very root. So this is the new way to live. This is the new life that Christ has given us. We can have it today. We don't need to fight. We can have this life now. Moving in Christ every moment. So, we've seen that we're to die to sin and our former ways. Our former ways of living. And now we can have a new life. We can live for righteousness and God's way to live. So what would the outcomes be if we do this? Well, first of all, there's going to be more peace, isn't there? As we beginning to walk in this new creation, there's going to be more peace because we're going to be struggling less and less with sin with every victory. We remember that the victory's already won. We don't have to. We can now make a choice. We can make a choice whether we sin or not. Or we can make a choice on what we put into our minds or what we focus on. And as we start walking this transformed way of life, this new creation, we will have more peace in ourselves with more and more victories. We will have more peace with others as we relate to others with compassion and kindness and gentleness and kind words, as we try to promote peace, promote Christ, rather than tear down, destroy, hurt, and look to our own selfish ambitions. We'll also have a better relationship with our Father as we are having more and more victories and we are opening ourselves up more and more to our Saviour, to Christ, and being indwelled and flooded by the Holy Spirit and not grieving the Holy Spirit, we will have a better relationship with our God. And lastly, we'd be better witnesses, wouldn't we? We're supposed to be Christ's ambassadors. And the only way we're going to be Christ's ambassadors to those around us who are lost is if we look like Christ and are living that new life, that new life that shows that we are, in fact, a new creation and we are in him. He is in us. And we will show that to the world as we walk in this new life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank and praise you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus did come to give us life. He came to give us life eternal. But also, Lord, he came to give us life today. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to throw off the things that hinder our walk with him, that we would throw off our old sinful nature and clothe ourselves in what is pure and what is good. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us daily. We ask that you would forgive us the times that we do fall short. But we do thank you that you who began a good work in us are faithful and you will complete that work. We pray for those who do struggle. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy, that they would come to know your truths, that they would take your truths on board. Let us all take your truths on board, Lord, and resolve to live and to walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.